Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Reluctant Spy, My Secret Life in the CIA's War on Terror, is a memoir by former CIA officer John Ciriaco that looks at the post-9/11 intelligence surge from the inside, drawing on his career in counterterrorism and later experience as a public critic of interrogation practices. Ciriaco presents a personal account of how the War on Terror reshaped priorities, ethics, and day-to-day operations. The book is widely discussed for its depiction of the pressure to produce results, the rapid expansion of covert programs, and the institutional culture that formed in the years after the attacks. It also explores the consequences faced by insiders who challenge official narratives, including the legal and professional fallout surrounding whistleblowing. Rather than a broad history of the era, this is framed as one participant's perspective on how policy decisions translate into operational choices, and how those choices reverberate long after headlines fade. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inside the post-9/11 counterterrorism machine, a central theme is the way the intelligence community retooled itself after 9/11, when urgency became the defining feature of counterterrorism work. Ciriaco describes an environment in which speed, secrecy, and measurable outputs were rewarded, shaping how cases were opened, how sources were handled, and how interagency relationships evolved. From a reader's standpoint, this topic clarifies why mistakes and overreach can become more likely when institutions operate under sustained crisis conditions. The book emphasizes the human side of the system analysts, case officers, managers, and partner services, each responding to incentives and fears while trying to prevent another attack. It also highlights how missions can broaden quickly, turning a narrow manhunt into a sprawling global effort with overlapping jurisdictions and competing agendas. This perspective helps explain the gap between public perceptions of intelligence work and the more bureaucratic reality of approvals, risk assessments, and internal politics. By focusing on lived experience rather than theory, the narrative invites readers to think about how large organizations behave when national trauma drives policy, and how that pressure can alter professional norms for years. Secondly, interrogation, torture, and the moral injury of policy. The memoir is closely associated with the debate over coercive interrogation, and the broader question of what governments justify in the name of security. Ciriaco is known publicly for speaking about the CIA use of waterboarding during the era, and the book situates that issue within a larger operational and ethical context. This topic focuses on how policy decisions made at senior levels can filter down to practitioners who must implement, witness, or rationalize them. The narrative encourages readers to examine not only legality and effectiveness, but also institutional self-protection, language choices, and the way euphemisms can dull moral alarms. It also illustrates how internal dissent can be marginalized, especially when programs are classified and framed as indispensable. For readers, the value is in seeing how an intelligence professional might come to question the alignment between mission and methods, and what the personal costs of that realization can be. The book does not function as a detached policy paper. It is a case study in moral injury, in which a patriotic commitment to protecting the public collides with actions that many consider incompatible with democratic principles and human rights. Thirdly, secrecy, disclosure, and the price of speaking out. Another major topic is the tension between secrecy as a tool of national security and transparency as a safeguard against abuse. Ciriaco's public identity is intertwined with whistleblowing and the legal consequences that followed, and the book explores that collision from an insider viewpoint. The narrative raises questions about what channels realistically exist for internal criticism, how classification can be used to control narratives, and why unauthorized disclosure becomes tempting when official oversight feels ineffective. It also shows how institutions may respond when a former insider challenges them, including reputational attacks, investigations, and prosecutorial pressure. For readers, this topic is useful because it illuminates the difference between the idealized notion of accountable governance and the practical realities of protecting sources, methods, and institutional credibility. It invites consideration of proportionality, how governments balance deterring harmful leaks with acknowledging legitimate public interest concerns. The book also underscores the personal stakes, such as family strain, career loss, and social isolation, that can accompany public dissent. By connecting individual choices to systemic incentives, it helps readers understand why whistleblowing remains one of the most contentious features of modern security states. Fourthly, bureaucracy, politics, and interagency friction. Beyond field operations, the memoir pays attention to the bureaucratic machinery that shapes intelligence outcomes. This topic examines how internal politics, leadership priorities, and interagency competition can influence what information is collected, how it is interpreted, and which actions are approved. In the post-9/11 environment, agencies expanded quickly, and with expansion came overlapping missions and turf conflicts that could complicate coordination. The book illustrates how success metrics, career incentives, and risk aversion can push teams toward choices that look irrational from the outside but make sense inside the system. Readers gain insight into how intelligence assessments can be affected by organizational pressures, and why even well-intentioned professionals may struggle to change course once a program gains momentum. The narrative also shows how relationships with foreign partners introduce additional complexity, since collaboration can be essential, but also ethically and politically fraught. This topic helps readers see the intelligence world as a network of institutions rather than a single monolithic actor. Understanding these dynamics is key to evaluating public debates about intelligence failures and reforms, because outcomes often reflect structural forces as much as individual judgment. Lastly, patriotism, identity, and what service means after the War on Terror. A final important thread is the author's evolving understanding of patriotism and service. The book frames intelligence work as both a calling and a burden, where loyalty to mission can conflict with loyalty to constitutional ideals. This topic explores how individuals construct identity within secret organizations, and what happens when that identity breaks under ethical or political strain. Bria Kao's story highlights the emotional arc common to many public service memoirs' early commitment, intense operational purpose, disillusionment with certain practices, and a search for integrity afterward. For readers, this is not only about one person's career but also about the broader national conversation on security and liberty. The memoir encourages reflection on whether protecting a country sometimes requires challenging its institutions, and how dissent can be framed as betrayal or as accountability depending on perspective. It also touches on reintegration into public life after years in classified environments, where one's achievements cannot be openly discussed and one's mistakes can become defining. This topic gives the book resonance beyond policy disputes, presenting the War on Terror as an experience that reshaped personal lives, professional cultures, and civic trust. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want an insider perspective on the War on Terror, especially those interested in intelligence culture, post-9/11 policy choices, and the human consequences of secrecy. It will also appeal to students of national security, journalists, and anyone trying to understand why debates about interrogation and whistleblowing remain so polarized. The main benefit is that it turns abstract controversies into lived dilemmas, showing how incentives, fear, and bureaucracy can steer decision-making in high-stakes environments. Readers may come away with a clearer framework for evaluating claims about effectiveness, legality, and accountability, and with a deeper appreciation for how moral injury can affect professionals tasked with protecting the public, compared to similar books that either defend institutions uncritically or condemn them from a distance. Kiria Kao's memoir stands out for its personal proximity to the system and its willingness to wrestle with contradictions of duty and conscience. It offers a narrative bridge between operational realities and civic values, helping readers think more precisely about reform and oversight. For those choosing among War on Terror memoirs, it is worth buying because it foregrounds the costs of policy on individuals and institutions, and it pushes the reader to question easy answers in a domain where certainty is often manufactured. If you would like to support John Kiriako, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.